Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. China will allow large-scale imports of Brazilian corn. The deal, signed by the General Administration of Quality Supervision, Inspection, and Quarantine, and its Brazilian counterpart, marks another step in Chinese efforts to diversify the suppliers of its corn imports, of which now more than 90% currently comes from the U.S. Under the agreement, China issued a quality permit for corn from the Latin American nation, formalizing an accord that Brazilian officials say was reached in November. EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy says that the EPA will take into consideration increases in gasoline use when the agency finalizes changes to the renewable fuels standard later this spring or early summer. EPA has proposed to cut roughly 3 billion gallons from the renewable fuels standard for 2014. The agency is now reviewing more than 200,000 comments on the proposed RFS rule. McCarthy says that the final rule will be different than the proposed rule and that the rule has to be defensible, especially in court. Cargill today reported net earnings of $319 million for its fiscal 2014 third quarter, which ended on February 28th. That's down 28% from the $445 million that was earned a year ago. Company earnings were trimmed by a trading loss related to a price spike in U.S. power markets in late January, the rejection of certain U.S. corn shipments to China, and weather-related disruptions to railway service in North America. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 16,181. It's up 3 points. The NASDAQ is trading 35.16, up 17. The S&P 500, 18.41. It is up 3.25 points.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Well, this is terrific Tuesday of our spring pledge period, also known as Pay It Forward Day. Alongside is Les Schulte, and Les, we truly believe in Pay It Forward in agriculture. And we have a fantastic way for all of our agricultural listeners to help pay it forward for the future.
Yeah, we do, Dave. We have a great kind of challenge going on. We have a wonderful group of businesses who have come together again during the spring pledge period. And here's the deal. To encourage you to support WILL and our agricultural services, we have this group of loyal businesses. They've gone together to create this special ag fund during this period. For every pledge made during the spring membership drive that mentions agriculture, this group of ag businesses, they'll each donate a dollar to WILL. So your pledge will generate about another $6.
Okay, so we have six people in our six agribusinesses in our pool. So $6.
$6 to WILL. They'll each donate a dollar to the College of ACES Agricultural Communication Scholarship Fund at the University of Illinois.
Oh, that's awesome.
So $6 goes into additional $6 to WILL, and an additional $6 into the College of ACES Ag Communication Scholarship Fund. So your pledge now will help support WILL and scholarships for ag communication students at the U of I. Just mention agriculture is one of the programs you use here on WILL, and we want to thank some of these businesses right now. And they include Bates Commodities, AgriGold Seeds, and Total Grain Marketing. That's just three of the people.
That is a marvelous way to help pay it forward. I know that in the 10 years that I've been sitting in this chair as director of agricultural programming, the number of folk like myself has declined. Mm-hmm. There are fewer ag broadcasters across the United States today than there was a decade ago. And to ensure that there is a future for agricultural broadcasting in the United States. This is a great way to do it. It gets students at the University of Illinois who have some consideration of going into the field an opportunity that they might not otherwise have to actually go and get their degree in agricultural broadcasting.
Yeah, also another thing to think about, this is kind of, we're calling it generational day.
It is generational
day. As you, as maybe you have used this service, maybe you're passing it along to your children, just like farmland kind of gets passed along and from generation to generation. Let us know how you use WILL. We want to hear your story. So when you call in and make your pledge of support at 217-244-9455, tell us how you use this service. We'll pass those stories along. We really appreciate the people who listen. We appreciate the people who support. And at any level, maybe $100 fits into your budget this year. The number is 217-244-9455. Or go online to willpledge.org. We're getting close to that $45,000 mark already, Dave.
Oh, that's marvelous. 217-244-9455. Won't you call now? Joining us to take a look at agricultural weather, he's live today, is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew. Boy, it was wet over the last day or two here in our backyard.
Yeah, it's and from there southward, I think, all the way into the lower Mississippi River Basin and the Tennessee River Basin. We've got a lot of soggy fields out there, and it is going to be a while before we can really firm it up nicely. It looks like the forecast, though, is going to lean a little bit towards some drier weather, but unfortunately we still have small disturbances that are in the pipeline here that will reinforce some of the wet conditions, and that's going to make it difficult for some fields to dry out as quickly as we want. And field work will only advance slowly. Some of the best field working conditions over the next few days are probably going to be in the southwestern Corn Belt, in portions of Kansas, western Missouri, maybe even some areas in Nebraska and southwestern Iowa. The lower parts of the Midwest will see improving conditions, and there will be some field work. I don't want to imply that there won't be any at all, but the weather is going to be a little less favorable for some of the region there. We do expect some showers today. These will be instability showers, very light. The temperatures will be chilly. We're only looking at 40s and 50s across the region today, so it's not like we're going to see a real good drying trend here today. But tomorrow and on into the end of the week, we will see the temperatures getting a little bit more pleasant and certainly a little bit more favorable for drying between what rain events we're going to have. We expect the highs tomorrow in the eastern Midwest to be mostly 50s and 60s. The western Corn Belt will be 60s and 70s. So in fact, 70s will occur all the way northward into parts of North Dakota tomorrow afternoon. So there is some signs of spring off to the west. The outlook for Thursday and Friday is for temperatures to cool down a little bit in the northwestern Corn Belt, but most of us will see temperatures in the 50s and 60s north and 60s and lower 70s south. And by south, I'm talking about primarily south of I-80, and we'll likely see a pretty good environment for firming up the ground a little bit during that time. Now, unfortunately, we do have a frontal system that will come across the Midwest as we move into the Thursday night and Friday time period in the lower parts of the Midwest, and that's going to stimulate a little bit of shower activity once again. And a little bit of a setback in our opportunities for getting into the fields will likely take place because of those showers. But I don't expect much more than maybe a couple tenths of an inch of rain coming out of the majority of them. There will be a few exceptions. The greatest rainfall probably will be in parts of Michigan and northern sections of Indiana and parts of Ohio. But there will not be a solid line. So some areas will get rain, others will not. And it will be an environment that at least we will get a little bit more drying to occur and perhaps some field work taking place as well. Moving a little bit deeper in time out, we will likely see a little bit more of an opportunity for drying to occur briefly early in the weekend, but there's a new frontal system that will cut through the region as we get to Sunday and Monday that will have a lot more impact on the region with a more generalized rain event expected. So there is a restriction on our field work, but we will see some progress made over these next few days. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 741.5. It's up 2. July, 7.48¾, up 2¾. Soft May, 6.77½, up 1¼. July, 6.85, up 1½. May corn, 5.02½, up 3¼. December, 5.06¾, up 1¼. May soybeans, 14.70¾, up 6½. November, 12.08¼, unchanged. May soybean meal, 4.78.60, up 4.30. May soybean oil, 41.18, down 25 cents. April live cattle, 143.22½, up 20. April feeders, 177.27½, down 22½. And April lean hogs are 123.67½, and they're down 135. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhard of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we're the day before the day, a WASDE report tomorrow. Will it be much of a mover, or will it be a ho-hum report and we'll immediately go back to weather after we look at it?
Well, it depends on what it says. If it says about what's expected, it'll be a ho-hummer. If they shock us by tightening supplies more than expected or by not tightening them at all, that'll shock us and we'll, you know, do the ups and downs part. But right now it's expected to be just a ho-hummer. I don't know what we can expect except that it's supposed to tighten old crop bean supplies and tighten corn supplies a little because of usage, and that's what we're looking at.
So if USDA comes out with 1.3 billion bushels of old crop corn and 125 to 127 million bushels of soybeans, what could we expect tomorrow?
I would expect it to be up a little bit on those because those are expectations. They would have to lower more than that to get a big, huge yield, I think. And if they're higher than that, we could be unchanged to down air.
What might they do tomorrow on the demand side of the equation? There's been talk about soybeans coming into the U.S. via China, via Brazil. I'm not quite sure how the deal works.
Yeah, we've got some of those right now being unloaded, and they've got more on the way. And they could raise imports more than expected. I don't know what, I think they're expecting 20 to 30, but long term they're expecting 60 to 80 on imports of beans. If they would push all those in early and keep the carry out higher, that would be a surprise.
There was some debate about livestock usage of corn relative to the PEDV virus and what the current hog population looks like in the U.S. And could we end up with some significantly higher ending U.S. stocks in corn tomorrow?
Well, that's always a possibility, but USDA didn't lower the hog numbers as much as industry thought they should. So they should still be having a good usage of the feed from the hogs. And they're also feeding hogs heavier and feeding cattle heavier, so that should have some good usage. Good usage would make the thing lower. If they cut out usage, yeah, we could have higher stocks than expected, but I expect them to go along with the line they've been having for the last few reports of usage about where we've been having it.
December corn, 5.06¾. November beans, 12.08¾. These are numbers we wouldn't have even dreamt about, two or three months ago. What should producers be doing, particularly in the corn market?
Well, in the corn market, I've got guys that got sold out, and they're buying July calls or December calls, thinking that they will have a run up here. And we have ran up a bunch. You know, everybody was saying sell, sell, sell mid-January to maybe even the end of February just due to the price we've had. But corn's up almost a full dollar from those in the old crop July, and December's up almost a dollar also, and beans, gosh, they're up $2 over those numbers we were looking at. So I think they need to be ready to protect or add to sales, especially if they haven't sold anything. But we're looking at protecting the downside and leaving the top side open. Unless you haven't sold anything, then we'd be dribbled some sales up.
You going to protect that with a straight put in options or something else?
I would be looking at straight puts or put spreads either way.
Anything else before we let you go today, Pete?
Just USDA report. No one knows really what it's going to say. It could go either way from it, depending on what the report says.
Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois, and Les Bates Commodities, one of the fine business partners who are part of this challenge. It's not really a challenge per se.
No, it's more like a match grant program. And then here's the deal. When you make your pledge of support to WILL, whether it be $60 or $100 or $200.
Whatever fits into your budget.
Whatever fits into your budget. What's going to happen is we have this group of ag businesses, and Bates Commodities is one of those. Also the Andersons in Champaign, the Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, and Farm Credit Illinois. Those are just a few of the people that are involved. They will each add $1 to WILL. For your pledge of support, and they will each add $1 to the College of ACES Agricultural Communication Scholarship Fund here at the U of I. So you can see how your dollar right now, your pledge right now, really does double duty. So think about that. But the main thing is, how do you use this service?
Exactly.
This radio station, these reports that you get. If you find that valuable, now we're asking you during the spring pledge period to step up and call 217-244-9455 or go online to willpledge.org and make your pledge.
We're listening to WILL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana.